Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Sweet memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
love. With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the things, Father, we've been able to get done today. Because we know, Father, that it was not on our own, but with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's help. Now, Father, open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your message this evening. And may the Holy Spirit come forth now. Give us the knowledge and the wisdom. The knowledge of the truth of this word and the wisdom to use it and to accept it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start out here with the Pharisees tempting Jesus. The last several chapters, that's all they've done. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tempting him. We begin here with verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And you know, they're seeing all these miracles that Jesus is doing, yet they still want to deny him, question him, and get rid of him. And most of the ones that are doing it are supposed to be their religious leaders. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause. You see, they're wanting to find out just how smart he is. No, they don't know he's a way superior to them. Now, here in Florida, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So now how are you going to put away part of yourself? You become one when you got married. Now how are you going to put away part of yourself? Well, there was a lot of things going on under the law, and to keep things even halfway straight, Moses told them they would need a bill of divorcement. All right, number six. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What God joins, because you see, that's what the unity of marriage is. That is a covenant made between three. Not two, but three. The man, the woman, and God. When that marriage is done and done right, that's what it is. Now, seven. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Well, because of the mess they had going on. Why, he done it at least. That slowed some of it down. But Jesus, here in 8, he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. He learned that no. From the beginning it was not so. Nine. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away does commit adultery. You see, when you and your wife get a divorce, you're not just messing with two people, you and her. Because if either one of you remarries, then you're committing adultery. And whosoever married you is committing adultery. So you're bringing others in to your sin. As I've tried to teach, I've had somebody tell me, oh, no, you know, that, no, that's just not right now. That's God's word. In fact, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking right there. That's not even one of the apostles speaking. That's Jesus himself. Verse 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Now, if that's so, it's not good to marry. Yeah, nothing wrong with getting married, but you better get married for the right reason, and you better work to stay that way. And marriage does take work. All of us that's been married or, and still are, whether or not, we know it takes work. You may love one with all of your heart, and still the marriage does not work because you don't work at it. and there's something that has to be done. 11. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, say they to whom it is given. For there are some Enoches which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some Enoches which were made Enoches of men, and there be Enoches which have made themselves Enoches for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. In other words, they are those that don't marry for different reasons. Well, we know. You know, the Catholic Church, the priests, cannot get married. Yet there's a lot of them don't behave themselves because they have sexual contact with women. In fact, I was living in a Catholic community right on the edge of Louisville. And I lived down the street that right across was the Catholic Church. I spent a lot of evenings out there on the basketball court with a lot of the young people playing basketball with them. In fact, I learned how to shoot craps on the back steps of the church by the priest teaching me. I'm just youngster, about 12 years old at the time. They had a cistern out back, and they was getting ready to do some remodeling. So they was going to close that cistern up, fill it in and all, and get rid of it. But when they got to looking in it, they was finding the skeleton of babies where the nuns had these babies and they had gotten rid of them. And they was having them by the priests of the church. Now, I'm not saying they all do it, but there's a big majority of them that does, because they're not supposed to get married. He said, let them receive it. They can receive it. And then we have some that are born that way that just don't want nothing to do with getting married. And they'll live their life without ever getting married. 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. The disciples now rebuke them because they're bringing these kids. But that ain't going to work either, even if they are his disciples. Here in 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, we found out this morning in chapter 18 that you and I have to reach the position of a small child in order to make heaven our home. Why is that? You see, when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what age you are, you can be 100 years old and be lost and then go to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him forgiveness and get forgiveness, put your trust in him to where you are saved. But in God's eyes, you are a child. Because there's no beginning and no end in him. There's no age in him. So you are just a child of him. And a child puts all of his trust for the things he needs in his parents, which is what you and I have to do with the Lord our God. We have to depend on him for our needs. And that's what he's wanting of us. He's wanting us to put our trust in him to that extent. And we were told that three different times in one chapter, in chapter 18 this morning. Now here he is telling us again, 16. We get that because 14 is where he was telling them to bring the children to him. And he laid his hands on them and then departed thence. 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Oh, what a question. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, your lie. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's giving you a whole lot of things there in you to do. It's not just a good thing, but there's a lot of things that your life should be all about. And 20. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. In other words, from his youth on up to where he's at. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Oh, what if he told you that? What if he tells all of us that thing, which is what he's doing here. It's not aimed at just this one young man. This is an example. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't accept what the Lord had told him. And most today will not accept. It's not the idea they can't, it's the idea they won't. Because you see, if God tells you that, if God was to come by and say, Pastor Tony, I want you to sell everything you've got. You get rid of it. And you give that money to the poor. And you follow me. Well, what if I've got, like this young man, And I've got all kinds of stuff. Am I going to be happy to get rid of it? And the thing of it is would I get rid of it? Yes, I would, because I've learned some things over the past few months that didn't follow me even through a lot of my ministry years. Because I now understand and know that if he told me to do that, he'd see that I had everything I needed. Now, he may not see that I'd have everything I'd like, but he'd see that I had everything I needed for life. He's doing that right now. As I shared with the church and with everybody several times. There was a time I lived from paycheck to paycheck, didn't know where the next bill was going to be paid or how it was going to be paid. Worried all the time about it. Then I found out he is my supplier. He is the one that will take care of my needs. And I started putting my trust in him because I hadn't been paying any tithes either. Because, Lord, I just can't afford it. Lord, I paid my tithes in this bill, that bill, this bill here. It's got to go. I can't pay them. I didn't have any money in the bank at all. But when the Spirit let me see and understand really the situation and knowing I could put my trust in him, I told my wife, I said, we're going to pay tithes. If not, a bill gets paid. And we're going to change a lot of things because we're going to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I started paying my tithes. Every time we had income come in, 10% of that was God's. I give it to him. Oh, there was a few bills that run a little late. It cost me even a little extra money. But it wasn't long at all until my bills was getting paid off. And I even had a checking account in the bank with a little extra left off. And today, I owe nobody nothing except for lights. Gas, would I have to buy gas for heat? Gas in my car and things that way? Just the average weekly or monthly that you have to do in order to get around and to live, the few groceries. But my home is paid off. My car is paid off. I've got a checking account. I've got a savings account. And my tithes get paid. As soon as our income comes in, that tithe's paid. This woman continued being that way. Now, but this young man wouldn't accept that. He wouldn't do it. 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. That rich man. it's going to be hard for him to get there because he ain't going to want to turn loose in riches. He's going to want to hold on to them more than he wants to hold on to God. Jesus knows that. Now, 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Man, that ain't much chance at all, is it? 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We can't do it on our own. But with him, all things are possible. And we can accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And we know those 12 men did. They left their jobs, their families and all, and followed him. When he told them to do it, they done it. Here's what Jesus tells them. And Jesus said unto them, verily. When you see that word verily in the beginning of the sentence, it means pay attention. This is important. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's quite a return, isn't it? For what they're giving. 29. And everyone that has forsaken house, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. 100 times more. And shall inherit everlasting life. So why are we afraid of giving to God? But most are. In fact, very few today actually pay tithes. But that's also why they don't have anything. Because God said that when you don't pay tithes, you're robbing a thief. And that's God's word. Now, so that you know, I'm not telling you something that ain't so. If you'll turn with me to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Chapter 3. Here's what God thinks about those that don't pay their tithes. Because you see, that tithes, you pay it to the church. But there's a reason for that. But it's actually God's money. Now, chapter 3, verse 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? That's number 8, the way it starts. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say within, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If you could get them to go ahead and pay their tithes, he's made you a promise that he's going to give you so much back that you ain't even got room for it. And like me, with me and my ministries, I was telling you, now I've got a checking account. In fact, I'll share something with you. This is not bragging on me, bragging on him. Because I told you I didn't have nothing. Now I've got 4 checking accounts, a saving account, and a church account. And all are doing all right. But I didn't get that way until I started paying my tithes. Now, he says here in 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer of your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. But you see, when you don't pay tithes in God's eyes, you're a robber and a thief. Because that first tenth of your income is not yours. That's his. And when you spend it for something else, you're spending his money, not yours. And that's why you're robbing you. But we got a lot of them out there that just will not do it. And if you could just, if I could just get them to really listen, they'd find out how much better off they would be. Now, verse 30, just a few words, and we'll be closing out on chapter 19. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Many that think they've got it made will find out they don't have. And a lot of them that think, you know, I'm nobody, yet they'll be first because they are doing the will of Almighty God. Now, let's see here, before we get into 20. Now, let's go ahead and get started in it. We may not get through it, we might. Let's see what the Holy Spirit brings out here. Chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Now that, again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? 7. They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, being beginning from the last to the first. Pay them all. Some of them go dinner an hour or so. Because he's been hard all day. 9. And when they came that were hard about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. But that's what they was hard for. That's what they were supposed to get from the day's work. And now they ain't liking it, because that man that was hard the 11th hour got the same amount. And they jealous now. Now, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? That's our agreement. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. It's mine. I can give it to him if I want to help him out. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is it thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. There's going to be a many one called to serve God, but there'll be few that will do it. And a lot of it is because of jealousy. 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. He's going to raise again. And we know he did just that. Now, we can ignore all the readings and say, well, that's not meant for us. But, oh, yes, it was. You'll find it again back in the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, when the church age began. You'll find it. Because you see, most of the Word of God is meant for all, because God does not change. He gave a lot of prophecies back in the Old Testament, and even with Jesus here in the four Gospels. But a lot of it was meant for the future. They didn't see a lot of it. It was meant for you and I. But we like to deny it and not accept it. Now 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She's wanting him to make them the best next to him. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? No, because if we could have and would have, he wouldn't have died for you and I. He wouldn't have had to. So we wouldn't and couldn't do it. Now, but that's the way he answered her. They say unto him, We are able. Now her two sons is telling, We are able. 23. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. He said, it's not mine to give, but you are going to go through the same baptism I went through. You're going to be putting up with a lot of the same things. And we're seeing that happen today all around us. Now, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Now you see they're wrong too. Because now they're kind of holding a grudge. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. In other words, let him wait on you. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. But just the way people are doing it, they're doing it today. Multi-millions. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them. They're going to scold them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still He called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You see, when we can come to the knowledge of knowing that when we touch him, we can have whatsoever we need, it will be done. It's not that he is not doing anything today. It is that we are not doing the things that we are to do and live the way that we are supposed to live. Or when we go to him and ask, we see things happen. Now, it doesn't mean that we can ask something and it be done right that moment. And sometimes we wonder why. Take me for an example. I had this sickness, this disease come upon me. Didn't even know why. But God had been taking care of me for many, many, many years, keeping me healthy. Brought me off of a deathbed even. And then for many years kept me completely healthy. And then I had this sickness come upon me. And I went to him for healing. He let me know, there's healing there for you. It didn't happen. I kept wondering, Lord, what have I done? What is it that I have done or not done? He said, your healing's done. You just haven't saw it yet. So I go on down the road, day after day, week after week. He let me know, what have you learned in this time that you have been with this sickness? Are you the same as you was? No, I'm not. I like a whole lot of men to say. And I have received so much more out of his word that I hadn't even had before. And an understanding of it that was like nothing I knew. Now I know why my healing wasn't done at the time I asked for it. Because I'm not near the same man right now as I was back 3 months back. I'm not near that man. That man loved the Lord God and was doing everything that I knew to do. But I was lacking a few things. I wasn't spending enough time in this book that we call the Holy Bible. I wasn't spending enough time praying and talking, communicating with him. I wasn't spending enough time fasting. You see, all that had to, that was things that were just coming to me. But I didn't know. Was holding things up. And I had been in the ministry 50-some years. You see, we all have to stay in the Word of God and really stay in the spirit in order to grow like this. And I'm letting you know all about me. I had gotten slack in my time, and we all do. But you better not keep it up, or you can wind up like I did, spending months in the hospital. And that didn't do any good either. Every time that I'd go in, I'd come out the same way I went in. But you know, through all of that time, I've had joy in my heart. I've been able to rejoice. I hold nothing against God. I hold nothing against the Lord. I hold nothing against nobody. Because I have been filled with the joy of teaching His word and growing like He had me grow. But I've been willing to accept it. And I knew He was right there with me. I wasn't going through it by myself. He was right there with me, taking me through it all. How long before things are finished? I don't know. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still spending more time with Him. But yet I am walking in joy in every one of these services. I enjoy the teaching of this word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for your healing power. And we know that when we ask something of you, we that are your children, we may not see things right then, but we know it was done. And somewhere down the road, one day, we'll know it is gone. But Father, we thank you and we praise you for the knowledge that we gain as we go through these trials and tribulations, Father. And we thank you for the strength of faith that it helped us build. And we thank you for being able to do more to help others. Thank you for all of these things. And Father, for those that will hear this, that's out there that needs a healing of whatever it would be, I'm here to tell them that we are healed by the Lord Jesus Christ's stripes, the stripes he bore that he took to the cross, has brought the healing to each and every one that will walk with him, put their faith and their trust in him. And I'm praying, Father, that those that are hearing this is accepting this fact. Accept your healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are healed. Now, Father, walk with us through this night. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. Let us rest through the night bring us through to morning, to 10 a.m. in the morning, when we can be back into your word to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, more about you, more about the Holy Spirit, and more of thy word, so that we can walk stronger each and every day in this world, reaching out to help someone else that's walking in darkness, that needs to know that they need something more than themselves, and that something is Jesus, and that they will go to him and confess their sins to him and be forgiven and place their trust in him, Father, and learn of you so that they too can have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, you know all of our needs, and you told us that you would supply our needs. And we know, Father, that you keep your promises, and that is a promise. Let us stand in faith now, believing and knowing that all good things come from you. They come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, brought by the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. All of you that can, be with us in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back into God's Word. So until then, have a great night. Good night, all.